I want to ask a question as we start this morning. I wonder, have you ever been trusted with something that you felt extremely, enormously unqualified for? Anybody? Yes? Right? But for whatever reason, with this thing, there was somebody who believed in you, and you're maybe not quite sure why, but they gave you this opportunity, right? And they believed in you and gave you that thing to do, even if you felt really unqualified. I gotta say, this is kind of how I've got anywhere in life, is somebody who believed in me. There's like a trail of people behind me who have believed in me and given me opportunities that I felt and at times probably was extremely unqualified for. And I suspect I'm not alone, right? Maybe that's your story as well. But this is what happens in the story that we're going to look at this morning. We're talking about our life to the full series, and I think a lot of us could quote that verse in John 10:10. Jesus says, "I have come to give you life and give it to you in its fullness." Right? And we're going to talk about, what does life to the full mean? What does this actually mean? Well, it's lives that model the love, the peace, the joy, the generosity of God, of Jesus, and lives that are transformed by the example of Jesus, aka not a boring life. I don't think any of us would say that we want to live a boring life, right? Yeah? Maybe it's just me, I don't know. You know, I love it when you guys respond, okay? We're going to have a good time this morning. And we're going to focus today on the story leading up to Jesus' birth, because I want to tell you about someone who she was engaged to be married. I bet you can't guess who it is. And her entire life changed. She was probably destined to live a fairly normal life, probably go about like her normal business and get married, do all the things that you do when you get married. But her life radically changed because of what's something that God asked her to do. Because God trusted her with something remarkable, something that she felt extremely unqualified for. So we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1 today, and no surprises, we're talking about Mary today, the mother of Jesus. We're going to be focusing on the story leading up to Jesus' birth, because, you know, I think we know probably a lot about the birth and everything after that, but I wonder if you've ever really spent good time, just even in this one chapter, reading about what it was like before the birth of Jesus and what happened. You know, I think it's probably right that we know more about that, because it would be a pretty boring nativity play at this point, right? There's no shepherds yet, there's no wise men, there's no cool hats to wear, nothing yet. But we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1. And this is a story of incredible faith. And what I want to do is inspire us with this today. And I want us to keep this thought in mind, just as we're opening our scriptures today. What does this mean for my life? What does this mean for my life? We're going to jump straight in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. You can open it with me if you would like, but it's going to be on the screen as well. And it says, "The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think, 'What could the angel mean?' 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for you have found favor with God. You will conceive it and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.'" Wow, imagine that. You're sitting alone at home and then bam, there's an angel. How crazy. And I want to look at particularly verse 28 and 29. It says here, Gabriel appeared to her, the angel, and he said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And I want to talk about why this is weird, because it's not normal for someone like Mary to be addressed in this way. This kind of thing, this kind of greeting, "greetings, favored woman," was really more for people who had kind of a high social standing. But Mary, she was just a Galilean, so she wasn't very high on the social rung. She was a woman. In fact, she was a very young woman. She was probably a girl. She was a teenager. You know, in those days, people like her, particularly Jews like her, women would be getting married between the ages of 13 and 16. So she was probably somewhere in the middle of there. Can you imagine that right now? Dads, imagine with me your teenage daughter sending them off to be married. Right? No, we don't even want to talk about it. We don't even want to think about it. It's crazy. But she was, that's why she was confused and she's disturbed. She's like, "Why are you talking to me like this? I am just Mary." And the story goes on. In verse 34, it says this. Mary asked the angel a very fair question. "How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." The start of this passage also talks about Elizabeth, who we now find out is Mary's relative, right? For context, in the first part of this chapter, it tells us that Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist in her old age. And I find this quite funny. In the Bible, it says that she and her husband Zechariah are both, and I quote, "very old." It doesn't say how old, it just says very old. So we might be able to guess kind of how old they might be. But this verse says that she's now conceived a son, and she used to be barren. The angel Gabriel declares that he will be called John, and he will prepare the way for the Lord, who, incidentally, Mary is now being told she's going to be giving birth to. So it's interesting that, I don't know what your Bible knowledge is like, but later on, we see that this is exactly how it ends up, is that John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. But you know what? This is happening in the womb. This is happening before they even come to earth, right? There's two miracles that are happening right now. Number one, it's bringing Elizabeth out of the cultural shame of barrenness. It was said in those days that if after a certain amount of time, after you got married, if your wife couldn't conceive, it was very normal for the husband to divorce her and find one who could, which is awful, devastating. But you know, this didn't happen with Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. They stayed together so that God could answer their prayer for a child. And the second miracle is this, a virgin conceiving a baby. "For nothing is impossible with God." This is what it says. And what I want to look at, because this is kind of a really strange situation, what I want to look at is, how did Mary respond? How does she respond to this? And it's one simple verse in verse 38. She says this. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. How does she respond? This is how Mary responds. In obedience. In obedience to what the angel is telling her is going to happen. I think Mary knew the cultural implications of this. She knew what she was being asked to do. She's an engaged woman. She's not married yet. It tells us several times that she's still a virgin. So, in fact, if she was going to break that, and be unfaithful to Joseph, her fiancé, he actually had every right to not only divorce her, but publicly shame her for doing this. And in fact, in Matthew, in chapter 1, it tells us that because of this, Joseph decides that he's going to break off the engagement. But he's a righteous man, so he wants to do it quietly so she's not disgraced. But you know what? Then an angel comes and tells him what's going on as well, so he doesn't break it off. But he was within his rights to do so. And no doubt Mary had more questions than the one that she asked. I certainly would, if it were me, with an angel talking to me about this impossible situation. Would have so many questions. She was scared. She was confused. It tells us she was disturbed by this news. It's a pretty disturbing occurrence, right? She knows that she's a woman. She knows that she barely has any rights, and if she does, it's probably because of the person that she marries in that time. And this could actually cost her everything. Her engagement, her social standing, her entire future could make her a disgrace in society. And she is so young. And God is entrusting her with this responsibility and calling her to do something that is far beyond herself and what she feels that she is qualified for. But still she says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. Wow. I think obedience is kind of a funny word in our culture today. I don't think that any of us would really say that it's a particularly good word, right? It's a really kind of strange concept because obedience brings out connotations of submission and not in a good way. In fact, anything that is described as being in obedience to another person is seen as a power imbalance. It's inequality. This is not what we're about today. So it's a very strange word. You know, whenever people used to get married, wives would promise to love and honor and obey their husbands. Husbands would promise to love and honor their wives. That doesn't happen anymore because that's not equal. There's no such thing as submission. No such thing as obedience. We are in an equal partnership now. This is what happens. And maybe some of us feel a little bit uneasy talking about obedience because the very notion is that we are putting ourselves in submission to someone or something else. And that is scary. But the obedience that we're talking about here in the sense that Mary is doing is a different kind of obedience. It's a surrender. It's a surrender to a higher purpose for her life, a surrender to what God is asking her to do, and an enormous trust in God. And I think this is the key difference between this kind of obedience and the kind that we would say is bad today, is that Mary loves God more than her social standing, more than the future that she might have imagined for herself. She loves him that much that she would say yes to this. Love is the motivator here, not power. And I think probably one of the reasons that we struggle with this concept of obedience is it's power, because we struggle with someone else being in any kind of power over us. And perhaps it's rightly so, because maybe in our lives somebody has used that power against us. Somebody has treated us in a bad way because they were the authority in our lives. And so we recoil and we put our barriers up against this happening again. And I don't blame you. It's never nice to be on the opposite side, on the losing side of a power imbalance. And this is why obedience is kind of difficult. But the kind of obedience that Mary is showing here is the opposite of that. It's surrender. It's trusting God that he knows what he's doing. And you know what? We see this even more as the story goes on. We're going to keep reading. In verses 39 to 45, it says this. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. So this is Elizabeth's husband. She's known by her husband. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Actually, prior to this, the Bible tells us that John, in her womb, would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even before he was born. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" She knows. Isn't that amazing? "When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. This is the second way that Mary responds. She responds in belief. She believes that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Right? And it's even belief in the impossible. Here are two impossible things happening. And this is confirmation of what the angel has said. Elizabeth's excitement. Amazing that she knows already. She doesn't need to be told that Mary is going to have Jesus. She knows. And the fact that the baby leaps into her womb, first of all, that's probably very uncomfortable, I can imagine. But what an amazing story. She says to Mary, "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said, because you believed in him." And Mary chose to believe in the impossible, in what was not possible at all. I think earlier that day, I don't think she was thinking that this would be happening. But if God could give an old barren woman, like Elizabeth, a child, he could give young Virgin Mary a child as well. Because nothing is impossible with God. And she believed that. And here's the third part of the story. When Mary hears what Elizabeth is saying, she chooses to praise God for choosing her to be the mother of his son. In verse 46, it says this. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed." And she goes on and she keeps praising him. But how amazing this is. No woman has ever received a greater honor than her. And this is the moment that she is realizing this. She's realizing what is happening. She is fixing her eyes on God. And she is thanking God. She's giving him all the glory. What a strange thing to happen to an ordinary woman, an ordinary lowly servant girl in Nazareth. How strange. How random. She could have just as easily said, "No. No, God, what are you doing? Why are you asking me to do this? It's just me. What will people think? Why would they even look at me the same? I don't want to do this. This is too hard, God. No, go choose somebody else." She could have just as easily responded in that way. She is young. She's got a lot to lose. A whole lot to lose. But she doesn't. She chooses to respond in obedience. She chooses to believe that God is going to do what he said he would do. And then she chooses to give thanks. She chooses to give her gratitude and all the glory to God. She chooses not to live a boring life. She chose a full life instead. And if we read on, we know that it's a very full life. She had to raise Jesus afterwards. Here's a bit of a firecracker, let's be honest. But here's what this means for us. Hopefully God's been stirring something in your heart at this moment. But I want to ask us, what would it look like for us to follow in Mary's example? What would it look like for us to live in obedience to God? What would it look like for us to live with our whole lives in obedience to God? Every part of it. Every single part of it. This is the thing. This is what this assignment required of Mary, is every part of her life. It's an all-invasive thing that she's being asked to do here. Every part of her life had to be in obedience to God to do this. What would it look like for us? What would it look like for you to live your life in complete obedience to God? In every part. Obedience to the assignment of what he might want you to do. Even if you feel that you're ridiculously unqualified. Like she did. I talked before that obedience is kind of a bad word today. But the obedience that I'm talking about here is the kind that brings freedom. It's kind of backwards. It's the obedience that Mark talks about in his gospel. In chapter 8, verse 35. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. It's backwards. It's a paradox. The very thing that we are trying to keep. If we lose it, we will gain life. It's the surrender of our lives to a higher purpose, knowing that God knows and trusting that God knows what he's doing, not out of duty, not out of a desire for power or anything like that, but out of love for him. Because we believe in a God who wants us to live extraordinary lives. Not a boring life, by any means. So what would it look like for you to live your life, every single part of it, in obedience to God? So what does obedience look like? Let's talk about belief. It looks like searching the scriptures, talking to God about absolutely everything in our lives. Letting him into every part of our lives, even the bad parts. Even the parts that are ugly, and especially the parts that we don't want him to see. We don't want him to see. This is the thing. God wants absolutely every part of your life, and I cannot say this enough. He wants absolutely every single part of your life. I think sometimes we want to compartmentalize our lives and say, I'm going to give this part to God and that's going to be radically changed because of it. But this part I'm just going to keep for myself because I'm a little bit comfortable here. Because it's really nice and it's comfortable and I don't want that part to change. I think Pastor Mark said last week, we love our comfort, right? Comfort is one of the things that we go after the most in life because it's very nice to be comfortable. But how often do we choose our own comfort over obedience to God? If you want to do an obedience check in your life, ask yourself this question. How often do I choose my own comfort over being obedient to God? How often do I just ignore those verses that say those things because I'm comfortable? Because I don't want that part of my life opened up because it's going to be painful. How often do we choose our own comfort over obedience to God? Do you know you and I have a purpose for our lives that is far bigger than ourselves? That is far bigger than ourselves. By you being in church or watching online today, I think you kind of know that a little bit. You know that you're not meant to live a boring life. You know that you're created to live an extraordinary life. A life that is transformed in every single part of your life. Do you think that Mary thought that she would end up being the mother of Jesus? At age 13 or 14 or whatever it was, I don't think she thought that. What a strange turn of events in her life. Do you think that this would have been a comfortable thing for her to choose? To respond in the way that she did? I don't think so. And at the end, you know, because she chose this, at the end, she's there with Jesus dying on the cross and he's still looking after her. He gives her a son. He gives her John, the disciple John, because she is his mother. She's his earthly mother. And he is looking out for her even at the end. What an extraordinary purpose that is. Like to be called to have Jesus, to give birth to Jesus. How amazing. And you know what? She wouldn't have had any of that unless she was obedient to what God was asking her to do. She wouldn't have had that. Now, we've got to be honest that not all of us have the luxury of an angel coming and telling us what we're supposed to be doing with our lives, right? Gee, that'd be nice. Can you just come and tell me, Gabriel? It seems to be Gabriel every time. Gabriel, can you come and tell me what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? Wouldn't that be amazing? It'd be kind of scary as well, I think. But, you know, we actually have to go searching and go looking for that thing that we're supposed to be doing with our lives. We have to ask God, what are we supposed to be doing? We have to ask the scriptures. Read the scriptures. This is what obedience looks like, is searching for what it is that God wants for you. Searching and asking and listening to the voice of God. Tell him everything about your life. Let him in to everything. Find out what God has for you. I'm here to say that it's probably not going to be an angel that comes and tells you. But you know, after obedience, this is what obedience looks like. What does belief look like? The Bible tells us, we just read, it says nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. This is what belief looks like. It means belief that God will bring us through the hard time that we're going through, that God will help us get out of debt, that God will save our marriage, that God will bring your child back to him one day, that God will do what he said he is going to do, that God will help us survive Christmas with our families, right? Whatever it is that feels impossible to you in your life, whatever it feels impossible to you, remember this, that nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. Is there something in your life today that feels like it's impossible? That feels like that's never going to happen? That's never going to happen for me. Let me tell you that God promises over and over and over again in here that he'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's not going to leave you alone. And I don't know if you've noticed this in your life, but quite often there's a little bit of time between the part where we're choosing to obey him and the part where it actually happens, right? This is where belief sits. As Karen was saying earlier, in the waiting. In the middle. This is where belief sits, in the middle. I've spoken to a whole bunch of people. I know so many people who have sat with us, Pastor Mark and I, and said, I know that this thing is going to happen in my life. I know what God has said to me. There's something new, there's something different, and it's coming, but I don't know when. And you watch as they sit there in the middle, needing to believe that the answer is going to come. They have to wait for the answer in the middle. They have to continue to believe that God is going to do what he said that he will do. And I can actually tell you so many stories of people who have come out on the other side. Because they kept believing in the middle, God has come through and has changed their lives. There's actually been so many things that we've even prayed for in church over the last couple of months where we get reports back of people saying, this happened. Prayer works. Belief in the middle works. This is where we sit with our belief. So I want to speak to anyone today who has had a promise from God, maybe even years ago, that you've never seen fulfilled. I want to speak to you, actually, because you're the kind of person who's been faithful to obey him, even in the middle. You spend every day reading your Bible. You spend every day praying about this thing. You are faithful to God in your obedience, and nothing seems to be happening. Let me just say this. Nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. Keep believing. God will do what he said he would do. And I can stand here with complete confidence and tell you that. He will do what he said that he would do in your life. If that's you and you have that little promise, and it's always just sits there in the back of your mind, doesn't it? Just waiting there to be fulfilled. You're in the belief section. And can I encourage you? Can I implore you to keep believing? Because we believe in a God who comes through. And here's the challenge for anyone else. When is the last time that you believed in God for something that you thought was impossible? When's the last time that you believed in him for your child to come back to him? Whatever it is in your life, I can't speak to it, but you know what it is if that's you right now. When's the last time you believed in him for that impossible thing to happen? Let me tell you that with all this obedience and belief, it's a deep, it's an enormous trust in a God. And this God that we serve, this God that we believe in here at Inglewood Church, the God that I inexplicably believe in and can tell you today, he will never hold power over you in a domineering way. He would never make you feel small. He would never crush your spirits. He would never abuse your trust. He would never be that kind of figure who just puts you down, makes you feel bad about yourself. And I think probably we feel that way because other people have done that to us. But I want to tell you about a God who would never do that to you. Who is kind, who is faithful. The Bible tells us that God is love. He is the very definition of love. He is merciful. He is trustworthy. I could keep going. But you need to find out for yourself if this is something that you struggle with. What is this obedience thing, Jess? Look it up. Read your Bible. Ask God, how do I do this? And I also want to say to anyone who feels extremely unqualified today, you saw how many people put their hands up before. You were not alone. You were not alone. And in my life, I'm sorry to say, but God has pretty much exclusively called me to things I didn't feel qualified for. Pretty much exclusively. But what would it look like for you? Perhaps you know what that thing is. What would it look like for you to say yes anyway? To do it anyway. I have never once regretted saying yes to those things that I didn't feel qualified for. Every time I regretted when I said no, and there have been times when I said no. But I've never once regretted saying yes. And let me tell you, it'll make you into about twice the person that you thought you could be. It's an amazing journey. What would it look like for you, if that's you today, to just do it anyway? Say yes. Go home and have a little freak out. And then get on with it. Because God calls us to amazing things. There's this great picture. It's a tweet, actually, from Christine Kane. And it says this. It's going to be on the screen. Do what you're called to do. Not everyone will understand it. Not everyone will approve of it. Not everyone will appreciate it. Not everyone will support it. Not everyone will applaud it. Not everyone will value it. Not everyone will receive it. Do what you're called to do. Do it anyway. So there's a couple of ways in which I want to invite you to respond to this today. There's a lot going on. But I believe that as you're sitting there, whatever it is that you're thinking about, whatever is tugging in your heart, God wants you to deal with that today. God doesn't want you to leave this place with that still tugging there. For the Christian who's been following God for a long time, maybe for the mature Christian today, are there parts of your life that you still need to surrender to God? Are there parts that you've put away and shut the door on and you've never let God into that part of your life? I want to challenge you today to let him in. It is scary. But I want to challenge you that God doesn't want half of you. He wants all of you. He wants every single part, especially the ugly parts. Especially the parts where you're like, oh, I'm pretty ashamed of that. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you right now. Because God wants all of you. Why don't we spend these next couple of minutes just in an attitude of prayer? However that looks like for you, bow your heads, close your eyes, whatever it is. Put your hands out maybe. Father, for those of us who've been following you for a very long time, who we're realizing right now there's parts of our lives that we have not given over to you. Father, we take a deep breath and we unlock that part of our lives. We slowly open it up and we say, God, you can have this part too. If that's you this morning, be brave. Someone here needs to be brave today. Take that step. Unlock that door and open it in your heart. Let him in to that part of your life. God, would you challenge us? Help us to open up those parts of our lives that we need you in, God. We confess that we've kept them hidden from you. And now we open them up to you, Father. Whatever that looks like, we take courage, we take a deep breath, and open that up to you. For anyone who doesn't yet know, whether you believe in Jesus or not, but you think maybe today you might want to take that step, can I tell you, it's a great step to take, and I'm going to invite you to do it now. Do you want an extraordinary life? Do you want not a boring life, but a life lived with God? I'm going to pray for you right now. If that's you, just quietly where you are, just put one of your palms up in the air. Just signifies that you're open. God, I pray for anyone who is accepting you right now, who's saying, I want to live my life in obedience to you. Just pray this in your heart with me. Father, I confess that I need you, that I don't have it all together. And so I give my life to you, and I ask you to transform me. In Jesus' name, amen. That's how simple it is. I also feel like maybe there's a few people here who need a bit of courage to believe in the impossible. Let's continue in that attitude of prayer. Do you need the courage to keep believing in God for what feels impossible? Whatever that is, let's bring it before God right now. I want you to imagine it's in your hands and you're holding it out to God. And if that's you, this prayer is for you. Father, I feel like this thing is impossible. Whatever it is, God, would you make it possible? I claim the promise that nothing is impossible with you over this particular situation in my life. I claim that promise and I choose to believe in the impossible now. I choose to believe that you will do what you said you would do. Amen. And this is the last one. Do you need courage to say yes to what God is asking you to do? Perhaps there's a little niggling in your heart that you're like, oh, I know that you're asking me to do this, but it's so hard, God. Do you need the courage today? You're going to walk out of this church today with that courage. If that's you, just receive this prayer right now. Father, I pray for anyone who needs the courage to say yes to you right now, to say yes to the thing that they know that you are calling them to do. Right now, if that is you, we're going to take a deep breath together and say, yes, God. Yes, I'm going to do it. God, give them the courage to say yes. Thank you that when we say yes, God, you are faithful to continue to do that work in us, that you will equip us, that you will qualify us. We don't need to be qualified, but you are the ultimate qualifier, and we thank you for that, Jesus. We say yes right now to whatever that is. And we pray this all together in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to have a moment of gratitude. Why don't we thank God for the things that he's done in our lives today? Come on, let's... Yeah, great. Whatever it is, in whatever way you've just responded just now, can I encourage you to tell the person that you came with? If you didn't come with someone, make friends with the person next to you. Don't worry, they probably won't remember your name later anyway. Just tell them what happened. Tell them what happened in your life just now. Tell them what you did. Tell them what God did for you. And you know what? If you responded for the first time today, I would like to give you one of these. I'm going to be just at the back there. This is a fancy Bible that you can take home and you can start searching through for what does obedience mean? What does this life actually mean? I'm going to give this to you if you are brave enough to come and see me. Actually, I'm going to be down the front there, so it's a little less scary. So you can come down and see me. I'm going to give you one of these. And I just want to encourage you, just as we're finishing off our service today, if you're new with us here today, welcome. And we would love to know you. You can fill out one of these connect forms here, invite, connect, belong. And I or Pastor Mark will get in contact with you during the week because we would love to know you. We just want to know about you. We want to know who you are. So please come and see us. Be brave enough. Don't forget to come and see me for one of these Bibles. And as we're ending, don't come to church next Sunday morning. Come at night time instead for our Christmas festival. It's just going to be amazing. It's going to be so much fun. We love Christmas here at Inglewood. So come at 5 p.m. instead. Bring your bank cards. We can't take gold coins at the moment. But get ready to donate money to Baptist World Aid Australia. It's going to be a really fun time at Christmas here at Inglewood. But I just want to pray a blessing over you as we go. Why don't we stand together and receive this morning? Father, I pray a blessing over every person in this room and watching at home online. I pray, Jesus, that you will go with them out into their weeks. Would you increase our obedience, God, increase our belief? And we just take this moment to thank you, God, to thank you for the things that you've done and the things that you've loosed in our lives just now, the things that you've released. God, would you continue to speak to us about how we can live our lives in obedience to you, about how we can continue believing in the middle. Just bless each one, I pray. May God go with you. May his peace follow you everywhere you go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday night.